get ready for the hottest talk show of the year. Primetime Live with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning, America. Looking live out there. Just a beautiful, crisp, beautiful day out there. It is cold, and we are trying to protect your rights. Keep your kids safe. Is that the message? Is that the message of the tragedy of the missing boys here in America? We will get the story of these three missing boys and what you can do to keep your kids legally safe. And what about video cameras in the Barbies? Have you heard about this lately? The video cameras that encourage child pornography? Have you been listening to the news? Well, we'll talk about that story and how the national media is making noise about the toy, this little peeping camera in a little Barbie doll, and whether or not that poses risks to your children and mine. And what about Big Brother? Is he listening to our cell phones? Can he hear us? Are they looking where we're at? Are we subjecting ourselves to the illegal searches and seizures? By when we use our phone data searches, do they know what we're saying? Can they find us? Can they listen to us? Listen to this story and how we can protect our personal liberties. Because let me tell you something, they're being stolen. They're being taken away every single day when they go without search warrants to look at our searches, to look at our positions, where we are. To find out what we're doing without those search warrants, we are asking for trouble. Those issues and your legal rights and concerns, plus anything else I deem important, live here in Detroit on Crime Time Live. You stay tuned.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Oh,
three missing boys. And we all know about this story. It's just insane. Every parent's heart goes out to these boys. The father of three missing boys held on a $3 million bail facing parental kidnapping charges. Is facing his extradition from Ohio. We'll talk about extradition if you want. Authorities said Wednesday that John Skelton was arrested Tuesday upon his release from a mental health facility, where, of course, he was saying that he had and needed mental treatment after a suicide attempt. They were in Morenci, Ohio. Morenci, Michigan. Skelton has chosen to fight the extradition, which, as his attorney, I would always tell him to do. As a parent, obviously you want him to simply get fried. In addition to police asking that the volunteer searches for the three boys, the 3, 5, 7, and 9-year-old, be discontinued as Friday night. Well, I mean, obviously they already have the confession and admission from the father that he murdered these children, just not saying where. And then, of course, he shut up. Although investigators have found a number of items, they do not know the children's whereabouts. You know, it's not, while they say it's still a rescue mission, it's really a recovery mission, because everybody really is just assuming that, unfortunately, these three boys have been killed. As to whether he believes that the boys are dead, the officer says, "I refuse to believe that at this point," saying he wanted to maintain hope. He did, however, repeat his Tuesday statement that a positive outcome is not anticipated. What do we do? I mean, what do we do to try and keep our kids safe all the time? It's impossible. It's impossible. You can't turn to bodyguards. You can't turn to lawyers. You can't turn to our professionals to always keep our kids safe. It's just not going to happen. Period. Hey, if you're a parent, you know every single day, your worst nightmare, your worst fear is that someone is going to take your kid. The problem is, of course, is it going to be another family member, right? Is it going to be the divorced or a spouse that is you're afraid of, that has some kind of visitation, that doesn't have visitation, that had visitation and lost visitation? I mean, you never know when your children are at risk, especially when you get nutcases that either have mental illnesses, right? They've got issues that either popped up or didn't during a custody battle. And you're always afraid of it. Oh, my God. You know how many times I get clients that call me has nothing to do with the criminal case? It's all about, I'm afraid on a custody battle my husband or my wife are going to steal my kids. What do you do? I got a call just the other day. What? I know that they're coming back. My ex is coming back in town. I called the police. They said, well, nothing's happened yet. We can't do anything. How do I protect it? You know it's going to happen. You need to get the police involved as soon as it happens. The problem is they're not going to get involved before it happens. It's always crazy. We hear about that publicist in Hollywood, the death, obviously, a couple weeks ago. Investigators still don't know if the man who killed himself was involved in the shooting. Now, this is a woman who's extremely wealthy, right? $6 million in her personal estate that she left. She obviously was in, at least it seems, murdered in this case. The difference is, who hired this woman? Who hired this guy to kill this woman? Who hired this killer to do it? That's what they're going to be looking for the next month or so. This guy ended up shooting himself. He's 64, died of gunshots. She's 64, died of gunshots. And this guy ended up shooting himself and killing himself. Did he do it out of guilt? Did he do it out of, was he murdered himself and they think that it was a suicide? We're going to follow that story and figure out exactly what's going on out there in California. Watch out for those Barbie dolls. You be careful what you're going to give your kid. The national media is saying new Barbie video girl could be used for porn. Let's get into this. The FBI is warning law agencies that the new Barbie doll, video girl, appropriate name named, could be used as a tool by pedophiles to make child pornography. Well, heck, they can use anything to make child pornography. You give them any kind of camera. You give them a cell phone. They can make child pornography.
It's an alert entitled Barbie Video Girl, a possible child pornography production method, the FBI said. The doll has a built-in camera in the chest and a small LCD screen for video display in her back. Now, is that always what's going to cause some type of individual who's already skewed towards child pornography and wanting to take child pornography? Are they going to use this to do it? Are they going to use their cell or some other hidden camera? You want to join the conversation, you call me at 248-848-1310. Because I'm telling you, I've represented people for 20 years that if they want to figure out a way to take some type of child pornography, if they want to figure out a way to access some kind of child pornography, they don't need a Barbie doll to do it, my friends. They'll find out any way possible. FBI investigation has revealed instances where an individual convicted of distributing child pornography had given a Barbie doll to a six-year-old girl. So that's what they're saying, of course, is that because they found that there was a child pornographer who used this method to try and set up some type of child, that therefore there's a significant risk. Can you imagine if every time a porno freak, a child pornographer, used a certain type of video camera, used a certain type of regular camera, cell phone, hidden camera, to take some kind of child pornography, that they're going to alert the national media and the national public that you should be afraid of using those cameras because that's exactly what they could do? Now, I'm not saying there isn't a higher chance because a kid doesn't know and a parent doesn't know that when they get a video stuck in some doll that there's a chance of having pornography. I'm not saying that it isn't an interesting take on it. I'm saying you can't ban everything simply because there might be some bad use of it. I mean, there's nothing inherently illegal or problematic with a doll with a video camera. The problem is you as parents got to watch who's giving it to your kid, right? Document on the site findings that another investigation found examples where a concealed video camera had recorded pornography, but not necessarily in a doll. Oh my goodness, I remember years ago I represented a guy who put it in a drain of a shower. I mean, you never know what people are going to be doing. You try to eliminate every use of a camera because it could be abused. We won't have cameras. They won't have cameras on the market.
How did you represent a guy that put a camera in a drain of a shot? You know what? I give you credit for taking that client because I don't know that I could.
Everybody deserves a representation, my friend. Just like walking into a hospital, you got a guy who convicted of murder and he brought him in, and should the doctor fix his leg or should he let him die? That's the oath that you take as a lawyer. You protect their constitutional right to be accused and abused, not you don't choose whether or not they did it or not. You want to call this conversation and join us, you call 248-848-1310, because I'm telling you right now, everybody deserves a defense. Now, you can choose what you want to do. You can choose if you want to take on that client, just like a doctor can choose if they want to treat that patient with a broken leg. You can accuse people of being Dr. Mud, being ostracized and sent out to Devil's Island because he fixed Abraham Lincoln's killer's leg, right? Or you can just say that it was his oath. Of course, he was potentially involved in treason too. You know, what I wanted to get to is that cell phone usage. Courts are drawing a line against warrantless phone data searches. This is crazy. This is what we have to be afraid of. This is what we have to be worried about, because everybody carries a cell phone. If you're like most people, you carry one. It's basically a tracking device around with you everywhere you go. That is what a cell phone is. It's a tracking device. They can figure out everywhere you are. The government can figure out every place you are, every search you have. But under what circumstances should they be able to do it? Are they allowed to snoop on us? Should they be allowed to? Some law enforcement agencies like the FBI reportedly have begun hiding GPS devices on the vehicles of people they're investigating. Now, do they need a warrant? You darn tootin' they need it. Do they always get it? You've got to be kidding me. There's no way that they, every time they want to go search on someone, get a warrant. They sneak and they basically do many, many things because we don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're up to. Those are the kind of questions recently raised in the three U.S. court cases. Basically, it's highlighted by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's a nonprofit group that really is a good group. It advocates free speech. So far, the judges generally seem like they want to preserve the right to require the government agents to obtain the warrant. And I'm not saying it happens every single time. I'm just saying it happens. And you don't know it. And you don't know when it's going to be. And you don't know when they're tracking you. Federal government keeps pushing for these actions to be warrantless. But you know what? If you want to call your legislator, you want to complain about something, you say, hey, under that Patriot Act, we have our rights abused, my friend. They can go in and they can get warrantless searches in many different ways simply by claiming that there's some terrorist activity. They can claim so many things regarding our and abusing our freedom, our freedoms of privacy under the guise of terrorism. The case currently was in the U.S. Court of Appeals in Philadelphia, and this is one I was reading about. It's considering whether the government needs a warrant to obtain cell phone company records that reveal the past whereabouts of the person. See, that's what they can do. They can go by not just where you're at and detect where you're at that moment. They can get your cell phone records and find out where you were. You want to call this conversation. You want to join us. You call us at 248-848-1310. And you tell me whether or not you think that there's ever a legitimate chance or a legitimate reason for the government to follow along, to see where we're at, to see what we're doing, to see what we're searching, to see who we've been talking to without a search warrant. You tell me. Maybe there is. Maybe that's what this means about trying to fight terrorism. Maybe that's exactly what we should be doing. Hey, maybe that's how we could stop a bomber coming on a plane. That we have some information that this guy might be a suspect and he might be suspected in other ways and profiled, and we can go to his cell phone records. We can go to his database searches and figure out exactly what he's been doing, who he's been talking to, what he's been searching, where he's been. Maybe that's a good reason to have those without warrantless searches. You call me at 248-848-1310. You tell me whether or not you think that is basically legitimate. We're going to turn a little closer here, a little local news. That case we covered a little while ago, homecoming, where that girl was basically saying that she was molested by underage. She's underage by boys. Well, it's headed to trial. Case involving two 16-year-old boys accused of sexually molesting and assaulting a 14-year-old girl at the Melvindale Hotel will head to trial. Nope, they couldn't work it out. They couldn't get it where these boys wouldn't be convicted of a non-sex-related offense. So that's what's going on. It happens every day. They're going to trial. Wayne County Prosecutor's Office said they tried to broker a deal, but it fell through. The boys were charged October 10th with two counts each of third-degree criminal sexual conduct. That means a 15-year felony. That's having underage sex under the age of 16. As a reminder, the age of sex in this state, it's not 13, it's not 18, it's 16 years old. Anybody 16 or older, they're allowed under the law to have sex. All there is stopping them is basically their conscience and their parents. Wayne County prosecutors said that it was going to trial. They couldn't settle it. Last month, they tried to adjourn it to figure out a negotiated deal, but it fell through. Lawyers, of course, aren't speaking about the case, which, of course, is what they shouldn't do because it's always going to influence potential jurors. Last month, the girl testified during a preliminary exam that she had this sexual encounter with these boys, and she's underage. Said that she had been drinking in a hotel room, and she felt drunk. See, here's the story. Here's what the law is. You want to know about the law of criminal sexual conduct? I'll tell you what it is. It is, if you're under the age of 16, force is presumed. There doesn't have to be shown that there was any force or coercion in this. They say someone 15 or younger is forced, even if she is the one who instigated it. The law on age of consent is 16 or older. So you have a 17-year-old boy with his 15-year-old girlfriend. They could be in the same grade, and they could prosecute that boy. It could be the other way around, which isn't usually the case. You have a 17-year-old, 18-year-old girl in high school and a 15-year-old freshman boy, and they can do the same thing. This is not common. The common thing is the exact other way around. You want to talk about that or ask any questions regarding that kind of case, you call me at 248-848-1310. Because I'm telling you right now, that's what's going on in high schools all the time. All the time. People don't know the age of consent. They think that, well, you know, we're in the same grade, it's okay. We're in the same high school, it's okay. I didn't get the girl drunk. I didn't give her any marijuana. It's okay. Let me tell you something. You got prosecutor's office, especially here in Michigan, that will take you to town. They will convict you of an offense that you will never get off your record. You will have to register as a sex offender for many, many years. And it's something that, let's face it, they didn't do anything about it 20 years ago, 30 years ago, right? They didn't take people to task for that. Oh, sure, you got a 30-year-old who somehow is coercing a 13-year-old to do something. It's a different story. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about teenagers playing around. It happens every single day. It happens every single school. It happens every single family that has teenagers. And what you can do as parents, let me tell you about the only thing you can do is you educate your teenage kid about the safety of having some sexual encounter, about the age of having it, about them, perhaps, if you feel it, the morality of it. But that's individual to a family. That's individual to a parent. Listen, there's parents that say, yeah, he's 16, what are you going to do? Other parents say, oh, man, I'm not letting him have any sexual encounter until he's, I'm going to counsel him until he's married. You get a whole range of things, religious, non-religious, scared of sexual disease, scared of pregnancy. You get a whole range of reasons why people counsel their kids not to have any sexual encounter. But the law says 16. The law says it doesn't matter if you made a mistake of age. It doesn't even matter if you've got that 14-year-old freshman in high school who tells the junior or senior that she's 16 and he's 17 or 18. It doesn't matter. Mistake of age is not a defense, at least not here in Michigan, to statutory rape, which is actually what it is. We don't call it that, but that's exactly what it is. And when you get, you sit there and say, oh, that's, you know, come on, they shouldn't be having that kind of sexual relations. 15-year-olds, come on, 15-year-olds, they shouldn't be touching anybody. They shouldn't be touched. So we should prosecute an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old senior for having some kind of sexual affair. Wait till it's your son. Wait till it's your senior son who's at a party and gets accused of having some kind of touching or sexual relationship with a freshman, and they're knocking on your door and arresting him and putting him in jail. Not juvenile facility, my friends. Oh, we're not talking about the detention facility. We mean in the adult jail because he's 17 or older. And wait and see. You tell me then whether or not you think that it should be against the law, or that you feel that they should prosecute those things. Because you'll be begging to have those charges dropped. So you be careful what you support when it hasn't happened to your family yet or a member of your family, because it happens all the time. People, they freak out when they find out what the age of consent is and how often it's prosecuted here in Michigan.
And here's the thing, you know, as you've said, Scott, it's if the child is a minor, if the young lady is a minor, the parents can enforce the charges. Doesn't matter if little Susie is dating little Mark and they love each other and, you know, and that's the situation and she said okay and actually it was her idea. Dad can go after Mark and there's nothing that Mark can do about it.
You know the way it works? Here's how it works. They make a complaint, not knowing what's going to happen. You know what usually freaks out at these? It's the kid, because the kid many times, most of the time, doesn't want to go forward. And it is exactly what you're saying. It's the parent that either brings it up with the counselor or with the police, and there's a complaint made in some way. There's some disclosure that's made, and then it gets out of hand, because then, quite frankly, it isn't up to the parents. Once the disclosure, once the police, once the authorities, DHS, anybody's involved, they have an obligation now to investigate it, and they're going to bring it up to the prosecutor. And even if the parents and the kid don't want to go forward with it, we don't want to put our kid through it. We don't want our kid to have to testify and ruin her life in school because she's going through it, like what happened in Michigan, like what happened with that girl who ended up committing suicide. We don't want to put our kids through it. The prosecutor says, you know what? We don't care. We take it out of your hands, ma'am. We take it out of your hands, sir. We don't leave it up to the complainant or the family to decide if they're going to go forward with it, because it's a public policy that we don't want kids under the age of 16 to be having sex. So it's with our legislature. That's why they came up under a public policy argument to say that you don't need a complainant other than the prosecutor's office to bring the charges. That's the craziness. You want to join this conversation, you call me at 248-848-1310. This is Scott Weinberg on Crime Time Live.
Or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL, the number one, or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
My name's Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future. So start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American Forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor. And those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Government, not by your families, not by your friends. You know he has to protect your rights? You do. That's right. You need to be educated. You need to be... You need to eliminate ignorance. And the only way to do that is to know your rights. It's to know where you're at. You got family members. You got people that are charged with crimes. You're charged with crimes. You got legal issues. You need to get the right advice. That's what it is. You need to get advice from lawyers. You need to do your own reading. You need to educate yourself and figure out exactly what your rights are. Darlene, what do you got? You got a question for us here on Crime Time Live on 1310 AM. What's going on?
Well, actually, I have some problems with getting the child out of Florida.
What do you got? What's going on in Florida?
My brother has full legal sole custody of the child. CPS was called in by the mother, who has been stripped of all rights.
Where's your brother now, Darlene?
My brother is in Florida along with the child. Mm-hmm. I have talked to CPS there. They told me that I could have Jacob. They called here. They ran a background check on my husband and I, said yes, that I could take the child 4 hours before his flight was to leave. The state's attorney said I couldn't have him.
Well, let's ask specifically what's going on with that.
They say they have a motion to reopen a case.
All right, well, let's get to back to more of the specifics of it, okay? So you want to be able to get...
I want to be
your
able to
grandchild
to Michigan to stay with me, to give him a stable home right now until his father gets on his feet.
So you want to get your grandchild sent here from Florida.
He's my nephew. My nephew.
And your nephew's being basically prevented because you're not a specific guardian of the nephew. Is that right?
Exactly. But my brother has told me that he is willing to give me full legal custody of him.
Well, where's the mother?
The mother is... there, but she has been stripped of all rights to the child.
So she's already lost her parental rights.
Yeah, she has lost her parental rights.
Well, this kid's got some problems coming in. He's got a father that's got some criminal charges, and he's got a mother that's already lost her rights.
Right.
What's the story? How old is the child?
The child is 9.
Well, so what you got to do is you can't just allow the father to say, I want the aunt to be able to get the child out of a different state. They need to get a court order to allow him. You need to petition either down there in Florida where they have jurisdiction. You need a petition to be able to get them and allow you to take the child out of the jurisdiction.
Well, but our understanding is there have been no charges against my brother. He has full legal custody of him. There's nothing stating that. What we're trying to figure out is...
Why are you trying to get him out?
Tell him what he can do with his child.
Well, the courts can tell it, and that's for sure is that DPS.
But there's no court order stating that Jacob cannot leave the state. There's no court order anywhere stating that he cannot leave the state.
Well, let me tell you how it works with the Department of Human Services, or a CPS, depending on where you're at in the country. What they do is they don't necessarily have judge authority. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They're not going in. Let me finish. They're not going in, and they're not saying, okay, we have an order from our office that we are picking up the child, or we are actually taking this child under authority, unless they physically go into court and petition to be able to have a referee or judge who has that executive power to enforce under the judiciary branch, to be able to enforce a petition from the executive branch, which is the CPS, to say, okay, under judicial authority, we are going to take this child. We're going to prevent this child from leaving. We're going to be doing that kind of stuff. CPS doesn't have the authority. They have to go get that authority. Now, it's not very hard for them. I mean, let me tell you something. You want to fool around with DHS and Child Protective Services. You say, we're not going to talk to you. We're not going to let you in our house. And believe me, I get clients all the time that say that, and you have that absolute right. And you know what they do? They walk literally 5 minutes down into a referee, and they get an authority, and they go and pick up the child. So it is very easy for them to petition, to come up with claims of why there are rights that are being abused or this child is at risk. Something's going on with this child that they're going to be able to get jurisdiction or authority over. If nothing else,
right now,
to get it for a hearing.
They do not have the jurisdiction or authority over him, correct?
Well, I don't know the specifics what's going on with your nephew in Florida, but I can tell you that if they don't have a judicial branch down there, some referee or judge saying we're preventing the child from leaving, then what they're saying is we're preventing him from leaving, and if you try to do it, we'll go into court and get a court order to prevent it.
Okay, but as of, but see, this is where our problem is. As of right now, they have no court order. They have nothing. They always say they want the best for the child. This is what we want. We want the best for Jacob.
Well, it sounds like you do, Darlene. This is, if you want to join the conversation, you call 248-848-1310. And that's what happens all the time. You get a family member, whether it's out of jurisdiction or not, who wants to step up to the plate. And you
Absolutely.
Want to be able to take care of another family member or even a friend's kid. You want to be able to step up the plate and do the right thing and protect a child. And you got a government agency saying, hold on there. We don't know what's going on. We're going to, you know, hold the child in perhaps a environment that might not be healthy. And it might not be your case, but might not be healthy. Or put the child in foster care in order to have some type of hearing to determine what's going on. We'll have a home study. We'll go to the people's homes, see whether or not they have food and they're caring and all that stuff. And then they'll make those choices. In the meantime, it's 2 months down the road and the kid's been abused in a foster care program.
Exactly. That's where we don't want him to go.
Well, here's what you got to do. You're not going to like it, but I'm going to tell you what it is. You got to hire a lawyer in that jurisdiction of Florida. They got to do an emergency petition to be able to hearing to change custody of the child so the child can leave the state.
Okay.
I know it's not what you want to hear, but
no,
you want to be.
Exactly.
But you, what you
we
don't
were
do?
Put him on a plane and be done.
Yeah, but then what? You're going to be able to get extradited for some type of theft of the child, some kidnapping that the state brings in.
My brother gave it to me. He has full custody of the child.
Yeah, but you got other government. You don't know the whole story. You got other government employees. You got other agencies involved preventing that child from leaving. I'm telling you right now, they're going to potentially bring some charges against you because you went against some court order. There's something going on there. They don't just go and prevent it without thinking they got authority for it. I'm telling you, you got to hire a lawyer.
But by law, wouldn't he have to be served with a court order?
By law, what has to happen is they have to have proper jurisdiction of that child. Now, can he get in trouble if he hasn't been served with something? Perhaps not. You're aware that there are DHS and CPS workers that are preventing it, and you're taking the child anyway. What I'm doing is trying to get you where you don't get in trouble.
Right.
Or what they might do is they might say that there's some theft or some transportation over interstate lines of a child without authority. So
okay.
The best way to do it, especially since the child is still safe with your son, is you go and you get a local attorney, you call me after hours, and I'll get you a local attorney there, and you do it right, and you get that child out of any kind of situation where he's not going to be taken care of. You bring him back here to Michigan. You take care of that child.
Oh, definitely. That's all I want to do, is give him a safe place to live and a good home.
Well, that's something we will definitely help you out with. You call us at 248-855-1400 after hours, and we will take care of him. We'll get you a local lawyer there in Florida. I mean, that's the one that happens all the time. People don't realize that just because there's not a court order, that Department of Human Services, Health and Human Services, the CPS, Child Protective Services, can't come in and can't try to direct what's going on with your kids. Now, you can prevent it. I'm telling you right now, you can say, I'm not interviewing with you. I'm not giving up my legal rights to shut up. I'm not saying anything to you that you can use against me. But be aware what's going to happen. That CPS worker is going to go, and they're going to get some pickup order and take that child, put it in foster care, and they're going to take action. Now, it might not last long, but they're going to take some kind of action because that's what happens with our government. They feel they have those rights to be able to tell us what to do, and you need to know your legal rights. You want to join the conversation, you call 248-848-1310. Leticia, what kind of problem you got?
I was calling about my father, trying to see what legal advice I can get for helping him. He's got a court-appointed attorney right now.
Where's your dad charged out of, Leticia?
He's at Wayne County Jail right now.
Oh, he's in Wayne County Jail right now?
Yeah.
What's he charged with?
He said he has several charges. Assault with a dangerous weapon was one. It was just mainly an argument over the area is really bad, and it was an argument with his friend. He was just stressed out, and I'm just trying to figure out how can I help him, because the situation, I don't think that he needs jail time. He needs help, but I don't know how to get
So he's charged with assault with a dangerous weapon. Just so our audience knows, assault with a dangerous weapon is a 4-year felony. Is that all his charges? Or he has other charges, too.
Okay, they have 3 charges. It says assault with dangerous weapon, assault with bodily harm, less than murder, and assault with attempted murder. But this guy was his friend, so I know he wasn't intending to murder anybody.
Okay,
and I'm just
trying
to figure out.
All right, so he's charged with more than just assault with a dangerous weapon. He's charged with attempted murder, which I hate to tell you, is one of the most serious things you can be charged with. And,
right.
You know, any type of assault case that includes attempted murder, you're going to get a special unit involved with the prosecutor's office. And what that means is that they are significantly attached to cases. It's not like it's just a docket prosecutor where they got 40 cases and they don't care what happens. They've got people that have assigned that case. And you said he's got a court-appointed attorney?
Right, and I keep getting different attorneys. And the first one seemed good, but right about now, I would like to get him out, but I don't have any money to get him out. And if I could get him out, then I could get him to some money where he can get a lawyer, but it just ain't hectic.
Well, let me tell you something. There are excellent court-appointed attorneys. I don't even want to know who this guy is. Don't say it on the air. But there are excellent court-appointed attorneys that are signed up with what's called the CAP program for Wayne County. So just because there's a court-appointed attorney doesn't mean he's not a good attorney. What it means is that, one, he's not getting paid a lot.
Right.
And two, his resources are limited because everything that he needs to get authority from the court. Different than if you had money to hire a retained attorney, they're going to then be able to go and get things on the side, get experts that might be need to be hired. They can do other investigations with private investigator. They're not going to have many cases up on that court on that day. Do you know what I mean? That's why people use retained attorneys. However, there are some excellent, excellent court-appointed attorneys. The problem is, it's the luck of the draw. I mean, that's what it is. It's like going to the free medical clinic to get your leg fixed. You can get a doctor that is extremely experienced and knows everything. You get a doctor who doesn't really know much, but he's just working there and he's got 50 other cases going on. I mean, it's just the luck of the draw. And in this kind of case,
I got like one thing I was trying to tell them, that the one guy who did witness against him, who said he was there, he wasn't even in his right mind. Like I said, that area is crazy, and he was basically like a baithead that'd be running in and out of the store. Is there any way, do they listen to me, or I'm just out of luck?
Well, I mean, the issue on those kind of cases, any kind of case, it's always a factual situation. You know what I mean? Is there any type of video? Is there any type of surveillance camera that saw any of this?
No.
So who is a witness? Is just the complainant and your dad?
Right. The 2 friends from around the area.
Well, so they do have other witnesses.
Just the guy who he got into the assault with or whatever, and that guy's friend.
Yeah. Well, on these kind of cases, thanks for calling, Leticia. On these kind of cases, one of the things you have to realize is that there are always 3 sides of the story. I mean, there is. Been in front of many, many juries, and let me tell you something, juries never know what's going on. You know, juries know their facts. Let me tell you how they know 90% of the cases are the facts. You get someone on the stand saying what they perceive to be what happened. You get someone else saying what they perceive to be what happened. And then you got a jury saying, who do we believe? That is 90% of the time. Jurors have to sit there and say, okay, we have a he said case. We might have one witness on the other side, another witness on the other. What do we do? Who do we believe? You don't have the police that see what happens in assault cases. The police aren't there 98% of the time. You don't have a video camera showing it happen. You don't have people taking a picture while it happened. It doesn't happen that way. This isn't Rodney King. Video cameras aren't out there most of the time. Domestic violence cases, assault cases, any kind of case where you have witnesses that have to be believed against the other witness, it's just that. It's a he said, she said kind of case. And you have jurors who now have on their obligation, they take an oath to say, we're not going to simply say one has more witnesses than the other, therefore we believe him. We're going to go into the specifics of that witness. What is their credibility? Do they seem believable? Do they have a good memory of the situation? Do they have some type of credibility that we can lay our verdict on? That's how juries work. So you have a situation like Letitia where you can say, my dad didn't do it. Well, that might be totally the case. But who's going to testify to that? Probably just her dad. They got another witness or two that he did it. That's why it's so hard to prosecute assault cases that don't have other types of evidence, and it's so hard to defend them because it many times goes to the credibility of the couple people that are testifying. You want to join this conversation, you call at 248-848-1310. You tell me anything about your legal questions. You ask me anything. If I don't know, I promise you, I will find the lawyer who will know. I will find the lawyer to help you in the specific legal advice. Because nobody should have any question about their legal rights when they're involved in the criminal system. When they're involved in any legal system, no one should have a question unanswered because there are professionals, there are resources for you to always know what your rights are. Don't go in there blind. Don't even pay a ticket without knowing what your rights are. Don't ever pay a ticket without knowing what that's going to go on your record. What's that's going to go on your driving record? Something as silly and simple as a speeding ticket can over time cause you havoc on your record. You call 248-848-1310. We'll try to help you out any way possible. Caller, what do you got to say? Well, I can't hear him. It's dead. It's dead. Caller, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Thomas Fields.
Thomas, what's going on? What can I help you with?
Well, I have a situation with my child's mother. For about 7 years of my child's life, I kind of was in and out of my child's life. So, but then I was unstable at the time, but now I'm married and I'm stable, got a home. And I've been trying to talk to my child's mother to get her, so we can come to an agreement so I can be more involved in my child's life. But anyway,
You paying child support?
Yeah, she put me on child support.
Are you paying child support?
Yeah.
And are you? Do you have arrearage? Are you up to date?
Pretty much.
So that means you're not up to date, right?
Not really. $1,000.
All right. Well, $1,000 not so bad. But here's the story. You want to go into court. I'm sure there's a friend of the court that is involved with it. There's a referee and then potentially a judge. That's how they're going to allow you to have some kind of regular visitation. You got to get some program to make sure that your arrearage is kept up to date, that you are paying your child support, and then you've got some reason to go in and say, hey, listen, I'm a legitimate guy now. Yeah, I screwed up before, but now I'm legit, and I want to have visitation. I want to have a regular schedule so that she can't direct what I do. But to do that, my friend, you got to man up, and you got to pay that because that's how the referee and the judge, that's how they determine it many times. Hey, are you paying? Okay. You get visitation. You're not paying, you don't get anything. I'm telling you, that's how they work.
No, but teach this. Now, I have as a matter of fact, I have parenting rights. Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, okay. I have parenting time. I've been granted, this is like maybe a month and a half ago, and I'm in Oakland County, and the thing is, she violated the first week I was supposed to see my child. Then she turned around and violated, the second time, because we're supposed to get, our agreement was I get her every other weekend. And she violated it again.
Here's what you need to do. You're right. You need to go, get a lawyer, and you need to go in to the front of the court, and you need to go and file an action to be able to force those visitation. Don't just sit there and let these people take advantage of you. Don't just sit there and let the other spouse, the baby mama, the father of the child, direct what you do. You go hire a lawyer, and you go and make sure that your rights are protected. You call me at 248-855-1400 off the air, and I'll get you the specific lawyer that you need, especially in Oakland County, that I'm telling you is a force. This lawyer will absolutely take them to task, and they have the best chance of getting your rights back. And that's what you got to do. Charles, what do you got to say? What kind of legal problem you got?
I was wondering how hard it was to get a part in Oakland State for a felony crime that you had. I got the crime, expunged through the court system, but it's not totally expunged.
All right, so let's back up. I want to get your question. So you got convicted of a crime. What was it?
Drug crime.
A drug crime. And you had only one count, and you hadn't anything before, and you didn't have anything after, so you got it expunged, right?
Right.
Because that's the criteria. If you get convicted of anything, a misdemeanor or a felony, except for a couple felonies that are capital crimes and maybe a sex crime, that you can get it expunged from your record, but you can't have anything prior, you can't have anything since, and there's got to be 5 years between the date of conviction and the time you're trying to get it expunged. That's the expungement statute in the state of Michigan. And you went and you got it expunged, right?
Yes, sir, in the courts.
So now what's going on? Is it not off your record?
No, that's the thing. It still shows up. It don't show up in the court records, but it shows up like
on your criminal
record. The DOT records.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to take, I don't know how you got it expunged. Did you use a lawyer?
No, I did the paperwork myself.
Well, you might have to call me at 248-855-1400 after hours, and I'll tell you exactly what you did wrong, or I'll look at it. But here's normally what you got to do. You got to get your fingerprint cards. You got to get it sent to the Michigan State Police. They got to wait a certain amount of time. They got to send it back to the court. You get a certified copy of your record, and then you have to go have a hearing in front of a judge who orders that it's expunged. Then you take that order and you send it up to the Michigan State Police, and in a couple months, they'll remove it from your criminal and your driving record. So that is the procedure you need to follow. You want to get that specifically, you call me after hours, and I'm happy to have that done by the firm or make sure that it's done right. But there are specific procedures that if you don't follow, it won't come off your criminal record.
Okay.
All right?
All right. 85, you say the number again?
248-855-1400.
Thanks a lot.
All right? And we'll take care of that, and we'll make sure that you get that. You talk to my producer, and we'll get you that taken care of. Because that's exactly what happens. People think they can go in without a lawyer. They can go in. They can take care of whatever case it is. And look what happened. It's still on his criminal record. Stops you from getting a job. Stops you from getting financial aid. It'll stop you in so many ways if you don't handle your cases correctly. You need to get them taken care of. You know what I mean? You need to make sure that even if you go into court, and even if you get a judge to do something, you get some legal advice to make sure it's done right. Listen, I don't know everything, that's for sure. After practicing for 20 years, I'll tell you what I do. I know every lawyer that can help you. That's right. You call me at 248-855-1400, and I will make sure that you are taken care of in any way possible. And if I can't, I'll make sure you get a lawyer to protect your rights, to protect what's going on in your life. Because that is the only way that you can actually know that your family, that your job, that your career, that your record, that they're protected. How many people do you know say, yeah, you know, I really should do something. Yeah, you know, I got those, drunk driving, and I just went pled guilty. I didn't want to get a lawyer. And now what happens 3 years later? Oh, man, my insurance is crazy. My record's terrible. I lost my job because I was a mechanic, and they won't let me have a drunk driving, and so I got fired, and I can't get into the mechanic job because I got to drive the cars to see if they're working. Man, I wish I knew. Oh, God. I wish I knew that I could have tried to beat it. I wish I knew that those simple speeding tickets that after a while would give me 12 points and I lost my license. I wish I knew that my kid, oh, man, all he had to do is hire a lawyer and try to keep that MIP off his record, and now it's on there for good. I just wish I knew. Well, you know what? You call Lori and you find out. You do research. My goodness, what's on the internet? You can figure out everything you want to know by reading the internet and being educated. Now, the internet's not going to go into court with you. Well, unless you're professional, you make sure that you are protected in that court. You go hire a decent lawyer that knows that prosecutor. Don't just hire any lawyer. You hire a lawyer that knows that judge. That's how you can protect yourself. You know the parties involved. Because every type of case that is legal has consequences. You make sure that your rights are protected every single day. We didn't get to all this today. There's so many other news stories I wanted to get to. I got crazy talking to these people. I get so frustrated when people call and they don't have the financial resources to hire a lawyer. They didn't know that they could go to the jurisdiction and get a lawyer. Lawyers offer payment plans. Don't not hire a lawyer because you can't afford them. You call me, Scott Weinberg, 248-855-1400, and I'll make sure that you're protected, or at least you're informed. I will make sure that you never get to court without knowing your rights. Well, you know, you have it. You can only bring a horse to water. You can only bring it to that drinking. I can't make you drink. You need to drink the Kool-Aid. And the Kool-Aid here, protect your rights. You listen to me every week. Every week on Crime Time Live. Because that's exactly what we're going to do. You call me during the week at 248-855-1400. You have any kind of problem, criminal, civil, I will make sure that you are protected. Next week, we're going to get to more of this issue regarding your rights and cell phones, because that's what drives me crazy. Who's looking at me? Who's watching me? I want to make sure they're not watching you. I want to make sure that your rights are known, that you protect yourself. You call us here. Listen every week at Crime Time Live. Take care.